going to this trash can and I'm fucking throwing this mask away. Oh, God. It's like wearing a tight rubber band around your face all day. Oh, God. That feels good.
I'm Samantha Brown. This is the Transom Podcast. It was late on Friday night when Kate O'Connell got off from work in the emergency room in Queens.
It's 1:48 in the morning. I'm walking away from the hospital. Some nice birds out here. So weird. There's no noise. There's just the noise of machines. You know, like HVAC, I guess, and these birds. There's absolutely no cars. What a shit show tonight was. The mayor says we're 9 days away from New York City hospitals just utterly collapsing and having too many patients. And all the nurses are asking, what are we going to do then? What are we going to do then? It's like we're just going to be stacking patients up in the hallways. I have never heard so many rapid responses being called from the floors. You know, in the ER, we do everything ourselves, so if we intubate, we're intubating. And during the shift, you hear rapid responses being called up on the floors, you know. Maybe one or two in a 12-hour shift. You know, rapid response, sixth floor, room 605, bed A, whatever. I'm telling you, tonight, there was one 20-minute period where there were five rapid responses called. And worse, if it wasn't a rapid response, there was just straight up, you knew someone was being intubated. It's like anesthesia stat. You know, when they're calling anesthesia, that's it. They're intubating. What is it going to be like? All right. Got my car. I got to change into my driving shoes, put these toxic shoes in their box, and get home and decontaminate. I can't wait to just sleep in tomorrow. Oh, God.
Hey, Sam. I slept a lot today, and I had a lot on my mind from work, so I started writing. I left work thinking about this historic moment these last few days before we get physically overwhelmed. Reminds me of those pictures of the morning of the tsunami in 2004. There were lots of stories and scary pictures that came afterwards, but the ones I found the most frightening and heartbreaking were the pictures of people frolicking and walking along the exposed seabed in the early morning. The water had receded at an alarming volume and was about to flood back in force, but people were oblivious at first. There's something about that moment that is so terrifying, and I think that's the moment New York City hospitals and healthcare workers are in right now. It was a rough night, but to understand that, you kind of have to understand what a pre-COVID typical shift was like in the ER. I mean, every day in the ER is pretty intense. Every day has its heartbreaks and its wins. Pretty much any day you could walk by a colleague and say, what a shit show, and not be exaggerating. That's just our baseline. That's just staff talking about a Monday. And we love our jobs. We love our patients. We're thrilled to help them get better. That is our greatest motivation and satisfaction, no matter how stressful or overcrowded the ER is. And it is overcrowded, day and night, on the regs. This jammed up puzzle of getting the sickest patients first into treatment rooms from the waiting room in the ambulance bay is the task of the charge nurse, who's constantly monitoring every area and the status of every patient to see who can be moved, who can come out to the hallway, who got a room upstairs, which area just had a critical patient and needs some time to recover, etc. The charge is always making tough decisions and keeping things moving. Even our huge ER is just not large enough to accommodate all the patients. I don't think any urban ER in the world is. So some pretty sick patients still have to come out into the hallways. We don't have a choice. But you don't put patients with contagious infections in the hallway until you do. Enter COVID-19. Last night, many, many more patients arrived in critical condition. They needed intubation and vents. An intubated, vented patient needs to go to an ICU bed. They need that level of care. In the ICU, the patient-to-nurse ratio is 2-1, so 2 patients to every 1 nurse, because ICU patients need that much care. So imagine in the ER, if you're the nurse with 5 very sick patients and 1 intubated patient who now needs ICU-level care from you. Pre-COVID, this happened a lot, and you could handle it as some extra salt and pepper on a stressful day. But last night, some areas had 2 ICU patients. And oh look, another patient coming in who needs intubation. It's absolutely everyone's worst nightmare, and a charge nurse's dilemma, where to put all these patients. Meanwhile, up on the floors in the hospital and in the ICUs, they're not turning over beds speedily at all. They're jam-packed with admitted COVID patients who, on average, need a week or more of hospitalization. So we get backlogged in the ER with admitted patients who don't have a bed assignment upstairs. But more patients keep coming in. Oh, man. Yesterday, I really felt for the charge. It's a tough assignment on a regular day. But now, I'd rather eat bees. And yet, our charge nurse just kept rallying and did not get dispirited. It was wild. Can this last? There's still a kind of adrenaline in the staff, a can-do, roll up the sleeves, deal with it, and help these poor patients mentality that is verging on the manic. Everyone looks just a little crazed in their eyes, which is all I can see of their faces. But God bless New Yorkers. We've been on the receiving end of massive outpourings of food, which is so appreciated by all the staff. I didn't get a break from 4 o'clock till like 11:30, so I rushed to the nurse's lounge and gorged myself on this delicious pastrami sandwich, not kidding. Chugged my entire thermos of green tea and my entire water bottle. I'm trying to limit the number of times I take my N95 respirator mask on and off because, well, obviously if it's doing its job, it is covered with virus on the outside, so it's tricky to doff it and redon it safely. Even though we are pretty resigned to the fact that we will all get COVID, I'm attempting to be hyper safe. Of course, this gets eye rolls and jibes from my more fatalistic workmates. I took my food and sat on an empty bench by the elevators. With no visitors allowed in the hospital and just staff rushing here and there, it is such a strange landscape. I saw a young respiratory therapist rush to the elevator. I can tell he's respiratory because they wear a particular color scrub. Not sure I know him, as he's in a mask up to his ears and it's hard to recognize people. I just say, "Respiratory, what's going on?" He looks at me, just wildly shaking his head and turning his palms up. He has no words. No words. He dives into the elevator. I've started hearing people in the media calling healthcare workers heroes. This makes me queasy. In these dark times, I need heroes. Yes, we all need them. And we recognize them, with no help from politicians. But when the powerful start assigning the term hero to people, that's usually right before they break the social contract with them, like with veterans, and then let them die mentally ill and homeless, or call heroes those that rush into a burning and collapsing tower, only to die, or if they live through that, to end up fighting for medical care for their freaky cancers and sarcoidosis. The word hero scares me. Need a new word. Taking on the mantle of a hero can mean being misunderstood for the rest of your life, like, hero doesn't make what you went through or what you're going through okay. But yet, wow, I so appreciate all the many little acts of beauty that regular people are tossing out at this time to healthcare workers over the internet, or banging pots and pans out their windows at 8 o'clock and shouting, "Thank you." That shit makes me so emotional, because that is love. That is plain love. I am a good little soldier, though, and a good soldier wants to respect their leader. I see our nurse manager, who's also a dear friend of mine. We started in this same ER at the same time in 2011. I just watch her with such admiration and respect. She's a really brave and capable leader, and she just keeps going and attacking every problem and finding solutions and using language to lift us all up. It makes me cry. It really does. I'm a good soldier and would follow her anywhere at this point. Well, except she asked me to come in again tomorrow, and I just can't. I need more sleep, and I need to stare out the window for a day, because I know it will be harder and harder each time I go back, and I want to go back. I will go back. I hope I'm not dragging you down with all this. All my heavy thoughts. Talk soon. XOXO Kato.
That was Kate O'Connell, an emergency room nurse and a radio producer. And that was the third episode in a series of audio postcards and letters from Kate. We're posting new episodes as quickly as we get them. We have set up a feature on Transom for this series. It's called Pandemic ER, Notes from a Nurse in Queens. Feel free to head there to leave a comment or encouraging words for Kate. I'm Samantha Brown, Transom's managing editor. Transom is funded by the National Endowment for the Arts and by people like you. Thanks for listening. Be safe.